Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 10, verses 26b through 33. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 10th chapter. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
They stood up. The word in the text is more than acknowledge, it's homologia, the verbal form, they confessed. Whoever confesses me before men, they stood up. Luther made his great confession at Worms, 1520. Here I stand, I can do no other. He was immediately put under the Edict of Worms, personally written by Emperor Charles V. He had written it and condemned Luther on the side of the state, and he went even further in a mixing of the two kingdoms, state and church, and he condemned Luther as a heretic. And basically put a bounty on his head. The Edict of Worms stood for the decade. The emperor was busy with a lot of stuff. He had to attack the Pope. You wonder why there's so many negative things said about the Pope at the time of the Reformation. Well, aside from denying justification by grace through faith, the Pope had standing army and navy and was a princely lord who lent his help in opposition to the Lutherans. Well, he got crossways with the emperor, and the emperor sacked Rome in 1527, and I'll never forget. I can't remember what church it is, but it's the church where Caravaggio's Matthew, St. Matthew painting is. And outside along those streets, there were German mercenaries yelling, Luther, Papa! Luther for Pope! After he got the Pope under control, straightened some things out with the French, there was an opportunity, but he couldn't push it. He couldn't push it because he needed the Germans' help fighting back the Turks. It's amazing how the providence of God works. Luther couldn't go to Augsburg. He had to stay at the Coburg Castle, safely within the Saxon territory, so he could be protected by his prince. He could have been confiscated as a heretic and killed, burned at the stake if he had gone. That meant Melanchthon and others went to the Diet. These were regular meetings of the empire to discuss all matters, religious and tax issues and banking policy and everything else in between. It was today, 1530, 3 in the afternoon, in Augsburg. Chancellor Bayer from Wittenberg and Chancellor Bruck from Wittenberg, both officials of the Prince, John Frederick. They both stood up, walked to the center of the room in the Bishop's Palace. The Emperor insisted that the confession be read in Latin. The princes protested and said, we're in Germany. It should be read in German. The emperor acquiesced. Each of them had copies of the German and the Latin, but since the German was read, Bayer stood forward and read the Augsburg Confession for the first time. Just before he did it, they stood up. All the princes of the realm, they stood up to say, "This is my confession." And they stood knowing full well the Edict of Worms. They knew full well the consequences. They knew full well what they confessed. That was the first time ever these words were read publicly or heard publicly. Article 4, which is the heart of the Augustana. Our churches teach that people cannot be justified by God by their own strengths, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. The most beautiful words ever written in any language outside the Bible. Eternal life is a gift. It depends completely on Christ. Therefore, it is absolutely certain. It is outside of us. It is received by faith. It's a gift of grace. The rest of the confession is very appropriate for today. Who is God? Article 1. It confesses the ancient creeds. We are not heretics or schismatics. We confess the ancient creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the great decisions of Chalcedon, Ephesus, the great councils, the Christological councils that define Jesus as God in the flesh, Mary as the God-bearer. We confess with the Church of all ages. We are small c Catholic. That's what the Augustana confesses. Article 2, the doctrine of man and sin. If, like in Eastern Orthodoxy or Roman Catholicism or even Evangelicalism, human beings have free will and they are just in need of some help getting spiritual, then the whole nature of the faith changes away from justification to human cooperation, human effort, aided by God to be sure. Article 3, Christ. He is the God-man. Luther said, if in the pan over against our sins, it's a mere man sitting and not God in the flesh, so that the blood of God did not flow down the cross, then we are in bad shape. Article 4, justification, just read. Article 5, how does it get to us? How does this gift come to us, the office of the ministry? It's delivered. Pastors are chosen by God's people. God chooses them through his people to speak for all of them, for God and for all the congregation, and to speak the gospel and deliver the gifts for certainty. Does this mean that you don't do good works? Article 6 says no. Good works are necessary, but they're not necessary for salvation. Good works are the result of faith. Can't be any other way. If we believe in Jesus, we can't help but do good works, just the way it is. And if there are no good works, there's need for repentance and faith. Article 7 and 8, where is the church? The church is not guaranteed by a pope. The church is not guaranteed by an episcopal system. The church is guaranteed by the presence of Jesus. Jesus' words. Jesus' beautiful words that do what they say. I tell you, your sins are forgiven. That's where the church is. I tell you, you're baptized. That's where the church is. I tell you, Christ's body and blood are here for you. That's where the church is, infallibly. And therefore, even when those things are partly covered over, yet if only a person believe in the simple message of Jesus, there are Christians there. How wonderful. Article 9, baptism. You are washed. You are forgiven. Baptism is not a sign or a symbol. The Bible never calls it a symbol or a sign. It's the real deal. It buries you together with Christ so that when God looks at you, his baptized child, he sees only the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Article 10, Body and Blood of Christ. We are unique among the so-called Protestants. We confess Christ's true body and blood as the church has confessed it from the first moment. That is our great charism, our great gift. Is the Augustana still needed today, my friends? In a short time after he was consecrated Pope, Leo gave his Urbi and Orbi speech in Rome. And he proclaimed a plenary indulgence. Indulgences are allegedly to take care of the temporal punishments. Christ took care of the eternal punishments for sin, but the temporal punishments still remain. So you have to go to purgatory and suffer for them, but you can get time off in purgatory if you have an indulgence, a plenary indulgence. Francis, one of the last things he did was send St. Jude's arm all over the United States to 100 or 200 cities, I think, complete with a plenary indulgence. It's like the Reformation never even happened. Masses are still said for the dead regularly. It's in the Catechism, the Catholic Catechism. Thank God we know many Roman Catholic Christians who trust in Jesus and don't believe in all this purgatory nonsense. The Augustana is clearly needed today. It's crystal clear. And this is our gift. Comparatively, we are small, we are weak. But in the history of Christianity, we are enormous. It is our gift to speak justification by grace through faith to the world. And that article of faith, the heart of everything, passes through and touches every other article. The gospel and all its articles, the Formula of Concord says. That is our charism. That is our gift. That is what we are here to do. We are here to plant gospel churches. We are here to help gospel churches. We are here to help our congregations and our pastors and our people stand up as gospel people. We are here to promote the proclamation of the free forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ without anything else attached at all. Because that's the message of Jesus. Forgiveness. So, we are a happy band of sinful, merry men and women. We shall proceed apace with a smile on our face, whether by one vote or a landslide, matters not. We have the task before us. Let's do it joyfully. We're blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.